the 47th Psalm, verses 6 and 7. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing ye praises with understanding. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless our time, Lord, that we spend this evening. And I ask, Lord, that you would help me as I speak to our folks. Thank you, Lord, for what we've enjoyed already tonight. And, Lord, as we come to the Bible study time, I pray that it'll be profitable. Please, Lord, help us to be, Lord, more in line with your word. Just give us some good practical instruction in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I was tempted to read all of these verses. I've got a list here of several pages, and I want to read some of them. But if you take the word sing and you just do a word search on it in just the book of Psalms, and I think it's appropriate that you would do that, or that we would look at that book. The book of Psalms was literally Israel's hymn book. And so although we read the Psalms, they used to sing the Psalms. But let me just read a few verses to you. Psalm 7:17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Most High. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. Psalms 9:2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou Most High. Psalm 9:11, sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Psalm 13:6, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Psalm 18:49, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Psalm 21:13, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. Now I've read about 6 verses of 56 verses that are in front of me. And in these 56 verses, 70 different times, we are commanded, exhorted, and encouraged to sing praises unto the Lord. Now, last Wednesday night, we started what I think is going to be about 3 weeks we're going to spend on music. And last week, I taught on 7 basic Bible principles, guidelines concerning music. Tonight, I want to talk about the importance of music, especially singing, but the importance of music and singing in the local church. The importance of music and singing in the local church. Lori found this and handed it to me, and I want you to think about this. Those of you that went on our Senior Saints trip and went to visit with me the old Rock Run Baptist Church, where we were saved, this is actually a hymnal from that church. I guess she stole it, is the only explanation that I can give you. And, you know, unless you've sinned, you don't need a Savior. So that's where she got saved. Now, I don't know whether she stole it before she was saved or after she was saved. I'm not sure. But this is an old hymnal. I don't know. I told her the other day, I said, I don't know how many of these I have, but I've got probably a whole box of old hymnals, different old hymnals. I love old hymnals and old songbooks. I find them, I buy them, I flip through them. Some of the songs that somehow has lost their way is rather sad, to be honest with you, in some of the older hymn books. And I guess that's part of what happens. And maybe time does test songs, and maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. But still, there are some of these songs, as I was flipping through here, that I can remember us singing in the Rock Run Baptist Church that I have not really heard sung congregationally for years. But this is what I wanted to read to you. And this was in the front of the songbook on the first page before the first song. And it says this, I am your hymn book. Next to the Bible, I should be your most treasured book. Hold me in your hand on Sunday when you prepare to sing. Let your heart listen to what has been enshrined within me. Hear the songs and the triumphant words of the martyrs dying for a faith the same as yours. Give heed to the prayers of devout men who have found the heart of God. Follow the missionaries of the cross on their way to the ends of the earth. Listen to the great minds of the church as they share with you the deep mysteries of the plan and purpose of the eternal God. Sit at the feet of the musicians and poets, of the saints and the redeemed in all lands and times, of all those who have seen the hunger in the heart satisfied, who have seen the hunger in the heart unsatisfied except through song. All these I have treasured for you. I am your hymn book. And I'll be honest with you, when I first read that, that first statement, somewhat, I guess there was a little bit of a hesitancy to accept it. Next to me, I should be your most treasured book. But you know, I'll be honest with you, the more I've spent this week preparing and studying and reading what the Bible says, I think that this old hymn book might have a case for itself. Because singing, folks, is absolutely inseparable from the Word of God. And I just gave you one, for instance, in one book where 70 times in 56 verses, not the word song or singing, just the word sing is found. You can't be even a casual reader of the Bible without realizing that God wants us to sing. God wants us to sing. There's something about singing that thrills the heart of God, and God loves it. He loves to be worshiped and praised through song. Now, I want to talk a little bit tonight about the importance of singing in the local church. I'm not sure if anything affects a preaching service or a congregation more than music. See, I believe this: music in a preaching service is either a vitamin or a tranquilizer. It's either an asset or a liability. It's either a stimulant or a sedative. It's needful for our churches to know the importance of the right kind and proper use of good gospel music. I believe that. Let me give you some introductory thoughts. But music is very important and should be very important here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, because it's important to God and it's emphasized so strongly in the Bible. You know, I got to thinking about this, and if you just go through the different ministries of our church, you can hardly find a ministry that singing is not a part of what happens in that ministry. I mean, in Master's Clubs right now, I guarantee you that they spent and will spend some time in both Master's Clubs just singing unto the Lord. If those of you that conduct nursing home services, you know and understand how just hearing the old hymns of the faith brings a light into the eyes of those dear saints and a smile on their face, and there's just something powerful about singing. On the buses, these red and white buses run up and down the highway. Car passes them, or somebody's standing on the street, and they come by, there's a good chance that when that bus goes by, out of all of those windows is going to come the voice of children singing. Some screaming, some begging for mercy, but singing mingled in along with all of that. I think it's important here. We go on and on. I can't imagine walking in here and conducting a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night service without having our heart prepared with a singing service, a congregational singing service. It's important. You see, I believe this. Let me just give some thoughts. These are just general thoughts, I guess, that I wanted to pin down and talk to you about in introduction. But I believe that evangelism is an atmosphere. I really do. I believe evangelism is an atmosphere, and I believe that proper music sets the tone of that atmosphere. I really think that that's true. You know, the right kind of music is historically linked to real revival. A lot of times we hear the names and remember the names of the great evangelists and preachers, but for every one of those names, if you'll do a little research, there's an old-time song leader, old-time soloist that usually traveled with those evangelists, and probably when we get to heaven, we'll be as credited with preparing the hearts to hear the Word of God as the man who stood and preached the Word of God. And you'll see that singing has always been historically linked to real revival, the right kind of godly music. I think that, let me just give you this thought. I think that the music in this church should immediately let visitors know what kind of church we are, who exactly we are. It should identify us.
You know that this is true. Have you ever been on vacation and you didn't plan ahead, or maybe you didn't know exactly till you got there as far as what church you were going to, and you sometimes just best you can in the Yellow Pages pick out what you hope is a good church? I guarantee you one thing, within the first handful of minutes in the song service, it will tell you a lot about what kind of church that you're in. You see, and music should immediately, I think it's important for us to understand that music should immediately let our visitors know who we are. We'll say, Brother Jerry, who are we? We're an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. That's what we are. And we don't pretend to be anything but that. That's what we are. That's what our music ought to convey. Let me say this. We're just a country church. We really are. We're not a highfalutin, big city, highbrow, anthems. That's not us. I'm not even necessarily against all of that. I do think sometimes that the formalistic singing does more to disprepare hearts than prepare hearts for the message. But you know what? It ought to reflect what we are. We're just country people that love the old-time hymns of the faith, open our songbooks, and sing with our hearts. And that's what visitors ought to have conveyed to them when they come in the door. And that should identify the kind of church that we are right off the bat. And so remember these things and these thoughts about singing. I wish I had time to really do a Bible study, and I'm not going to so much do a Bible study tonight as I'm just going to give you some practical advice, some practical reminders, practical input from a preacher's heart concerning the music in the church. But let me just say this. Music plays a big part in the Word of God. When Moses crossed the Red Sea, he sang, and so did the children of Israel. Deborah and Barak composed a song at the defeat of Sisera. Hannah sang because of God's promise to give her a son. And Mary sang after the Annunciation. Others in the Bible, such as Joseph, Simon, Hezekiah, gave expressions of their joy in song. I love this. Revelation 5:9, we find, and they sung a new song. The psalmist said, "He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God." In heaven, the four and living creatures will sing around the throne of God. Singing, watch this, singing is one of the enjoyments on earth that can be transferred to heaven. So when we're singing, we're doing a heaven thing. We're doing a heaven thing when we're singing. Because God loves music and loves songs so much and loves to hear his people sing so much that that's part of one of the staples that we'll enjoy in heaven. And I'm glad. I can't imagine a musicless heaven. Can you? No more than I can imagine a musicless church service. Now let me talk to you about just some different things around the church here. And again, I'm just going to kind of give you some nuts and bolts type thing and some things that I hope will bless you and encourage you and help you. Having said all of that, without us just flipping through hundreds of verses, although we could, having said all that, let me just say this, folks. The congregational song service is vital to the success of each service here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, I want to sell you on that idea. That's just not filler time. That's just not stall time so that folks that come in late won't come in during the preaching. That's not a waste of time. It is vital to the success of each service. Me and Brother Tom talk about this sometime, and I appreciate it. We've got a good song leader here. We really do. We've been blessed with a good song leader. But I will tell you this, folks. I have stood to preach here and other places where I felt like I had to, from the moment I get up here, begin almost at the bottom and spend time getting the service up to the point where I can preach. And I've been in other services and times even in our own church where I just felt like I rode a wave from that pew all the way over to the pulpit and could go right into the message because the hearts were prepared, the atmosphere had been set, God had been praised, and the Holy Spirit was turned loose. And man, have you ever had somebody say, you had such a song service and special songs and all that somebody turn around and say, "Brother, it's time to preach, and if you can't preach after that, you can't preach." And I've had those kind of times where I've just felt like, you know what, the music did exactly what it was supposed to do, and it prepared people's heart, and it's got us to the point where we're all ready to hear what God has to say now. And so, listen, folks, That's not his job to get that done. That's all of our jobs to get that done. All of our jobs. And so every single one of us need to remember that even sometimes when we're distracted and things are going on, that when the congregational singing happens, listen, it's not talking time. It's not goofing off time. It's not playing around time. It's singing time. And every voice ought to be raised to the Lord. And so let me say a few things about our congregational songs. There's some of these you know. Some of these things will be good for all of us. But just to let you know, we're just going to continue to sing the old hymns of the faith in our congregational. No, I haven't been browsing around trying to find some newfangled song book that has a bunch of P&W songs in it, praise and worship songs. I just like the old time hymns of the faith, you know. I was sitting there watching our song service develop, and I sat there and watched and listened, and the first three congregational songs we sang was written by Fanny Crosby, and the last congregational song we sang was by Isaac Watts. And I thought, what a blessing. What a blessing. What powerful songs. Go back and read the words of the songs that we sang tonight, and they are incredibly, incredibly rich. And how people can take a look at that and then compare them to what preachers for some times has referred to the 7-11 song, seven words sung 11 times. No depth, no meat, no power, just vain repetition, I'm afraid, a lot of times. And it just doesn't have the power that the old hymns of the faith have. And I like that. Now, contemporary music, folks, has not done us a favor. And I probably ought to define what I mean by that. The word contemporary in its purest form, let me just say this, the word contemporary in its purest forms means of that time. And I don't think that every song that's been written of our time is a bad song or is a song that should not be used in church. Now, did you hear what I said? Don't leave here and say, Brother Jerry's for contemporary music. What I'm saying is that in the purest form of the definition of the word, contemporary means of our time. And there are still being written in this time period some incredibly wonderful songs. And I think that in time they'll be incorporated, will stand the test of time, be incorporated into our services. I don't even mind them. We've had special sung in the last month. I guarantee you we have. I listen of songs that have been written of recent years. What I mean when I talk about contemporary music is music that is mimicking the contemporary style of the world during this time. And there are a lot of songs, the vast majority of new songs that are being produced just absolutely reflect what you would hear if you turned on any worldly station on your radio. And that is not what we want. That's not the direction we're going. What we want to do is we want to stay to the old time hymns of the faith and songs that are written as and towards the style of the proven type of music, the proven type of songs that have stood the test of time and that have ignited throughout a history of our country real revival. And so I wanted to say that. Let me give you something else. I would like every one of you to do this, and I want to even do a better job doing this, enthusiastically involve yourself in the song service. Now, I'll be honest with you. There's a couple of services a week that it's really tough. Man, Wednesday night, midweek, I mean, people's worked hard all week. Some of you right now, you're tired. Bless your heart. I know you're tired. You work hard. You've gone like crazy. You've put in a lot of hours already in just the half the week, and it's easy to just kind of sit down, plop down, and watch Brother Tom sing. But you know what, folks? We've got to be aware of something. Visitors could come in for one thing, but beyond that, in order to properly prepare your heart for the service, it's wise to involve yourself in the song service. And so enthusiastically involve yourself in the song service. That means get a song book, open it up to the page, and look at the words, and from your heart, sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, okay? Let me give you another thing. Some of these are very practical things, but another thing that causes, I think, a successful congregational song service is this. Follow the song leaders leading during the song service. follow the song leader's leading during the song service. Have you ever been in a church? I was in a church one time where I'm convinced that there was three different sections of the congregation. There was the section that believed that the song leader was singing the song at the right tempo. Then there was the section that decided that believed he was singing it too fast. And then there was a section that decided he was singing it too slow. So all of these sections decided that they would sing it the way they felt like it ought to be sung. Have you ever been in a song service like that? Where you've got some group running ahead of the song leader, some staying with him, and this echo crowd that runs back behind him, you know. And I'm telling you, folks, you talk about God not being the author of confusion. It's so hard to concentrate on what you're singing and the words you're singing because it's chaotic. Now, there's a reason we have a song leader. And I think what you've got to do is you say, well, Brother Jerry, on that particular song, I think it ought to be sung slower. I think it ought to be, you know, we have a song leader. And so for the unity of the service, watch him pick up the tempo and stay with him. Because I'll tell you what, Brother Tom does a good job on this. Folks, listen to me. A lot of the reason that a lot of song service turns into, listen, it's not, it's almost like funeral music preparing for a funeral, not evangelistic songs preparing you and stirring your heart to hear preaching, is that we tend to drag songs out. Now, don't come to me telling me how much you know about music and how it's supposed to be. I don't want to hear that. I want our song service to be upbeat, up-tempo, and Brother Tom gets after Sarah once. You know why? Because we're dragging it out. And so follow it and stay with him and involve yourself in it and then follow the song leader during the song service because, folks, nothing's more beautiful than a song that's sung together. Nothing's more chaotic than if you've got a bunch of different things going in our song service. This is good stuff for us. Amen. Number four, let the words of each song warm your heart and prepare your spirit for the preaching. Let the words of each song warm your heart and prepare your spirit for the preaching. We're not careful, folks. We are guilty, guilty, guilty of what we just accused the 7-Eleven crowd of, and that's vain repetition. I know this song. I don't even have to pick up the songbook. I can sit here and mutter these words, and my mind's a million miles away, and that is vain repetition. I'm guilty of it at times. Amen. Are you? And so when I catch myself doing that, I've got to refocus myself because, again, this is important that I prepare my heart for the preaching service. So I want to pay attention to what I'm singing. If it's a song of praise unto the Lord, then I want to direct my heart and my words to God. Sometimes it's a song of testimony. Sometimes it's a song of encouragement to the brethren. Well, I want to sing it out and exhort and encourage you, and I hope that you'll sing it out and exhort and encourage me, because these are important things that all of them work together to help the song service be successful so that the preaching service afterward won't suffer. And let me just say one more thing about the congregational song service. Let's just keep using songbooks. Right? You say, Brother Jerry, there's so much neat technology out there. I know there is. And they can't, folks, it's going to get neater and neater and wilder and faster and faster. But you know what? So?
Amen.
So? You know, I think sometimes we're trying too hard to keep up with all the new stuff. I just think we get over-enamored with some stuff sometimes. Now, I'm not against technology, and I'm not against using technology in the ministry. But I do think that the service, just there's a purity to it. And I'm not saying that any church, I don't go on a rampage about it. I don't think they're sinning. But I'm really just not a big fan of these, let's get rid of the songbook and put the words on the screen and follow the bouncy ball. I'm just not a... And again, there's some good churches and some good men that do it, and I praise God. I'm not going to break fellowship with somebody over it. I don't think it's, you know, folks, don't make it something a conviction that's not a conviction. But I'm just saying, I guess what I keep seeing is this. The more modern everything gets, the more I want to go back here behind the shed and go back to our roots. And you know what our roots is? Our roots is the old-time camp meeting. Our roots is singing from the heart. Our roots is gospel songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and that's our roots. And our roots is, you know, still in songbooks. That's what our roots are, you know. I just like a songbook. And again, I just think here we'll just keep the songbooks. Amen. Number three. That was free. All right, number three. Let me talk to you a little bit quickly. I did number five. Third area I want to cover here, introduction in our congregation song service. Let me talk a little bit about the piano playing. Our piano playing is an important part of our song service. It really is. And I want to just take a moment. And as I'm going through here, I'm kind of giving kudos to everybody. Because I'll tell you what, I'm going to talk to you about congregational singing, and I'm going to talk to you about the piano playing. I'm talking about our choir. I'm going to talk about special music. But I'm going to tell you this right now. I feel blessed to be in this church because of the musical talent and the musical abilities that God's given to this congregation. I really mean that. I just sometimes sit back and think to myself, I'm telling you what, I don't know. There's not too many large churches, much larger than us, that rival the musical abilities here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's a blessing. Week in and week out, service in and service out, we are blessed by quality special music and quality choir specials, and our piano players do an incredible job. But our piano playing, pray for your piano players, pray for your song leaders. By the way, song leaders, piano players, be Spirit-filled. Well, I'm telling you, I'll tell you this as a preacher. I've preached Spirit-filled and I've preached in the flesh. And I'll tell you which one works and which one doesn't. But it's just as important for you musicians to pray for a special anointing of God. Because what you're doing is big time stuff. It really is. And I appreciate our piano players. Of course, for years, Sister Nancy, is she here tonight? Sister Nancy, for years, blessed us with being our congregational pianist. And I mean that, for years and years, faithfully prepared, worked hard at it, done it. And basically for health reasons, and I'm sure at times it grieves your heart and vexes your heart that you can't still be involved in that. But I appreciate that, and I don't forget that. I appreciate Lori stepping in and doing the job that she's done here in the piano playing. It's an important part. I was back in the office, and I thought about 5 minutes before the service started, I looked up, just about exactly 5 minutes till, I hear a upbeat, energetic prelude begin, and it's a signal that's sent throughout the building. I can even hear it in the office. Amen. Guess what, folks? It's time to cut back on the fellowship because you only got 5 minutes. Come on in. It's church time. Amen. And I just, something about coming into a service where you have that prelude, and it sets the proper spirit for the service. And as I said a minute ago, I appreciate it. And I don't give an instruction. I'm saying all this because we've got some young ladies that are learning piano coming up. But too many churches let the piano player be the song leader. And the piano player is not the song leader. I told the congregation to follow the song leader. Piano players, you follow the song leader too. Okay? And I see this. I see song leaders that surrender to that. And they give up and they just go whatever pace the piano's going. And listen, the piano player is not the song leader. And the song leader is leading and the piano player needs to follow the song leader. Does that make sense to you? And so remember that. That way we all stay together. That's why we have a song leader. Amen. A leader. Let me give you another one here. The offertory, folks. Let's be a little more respectful during the offertory. Let's let the offertory bless our hearts. These gals don't just walk in here and flip open the book and try to find something at the last second. They practice and prepare, just as Keith did with the violin tonight. They practice and prepare that offertory, and it is a musical special here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's a musical special. And we wouldn't a lot of times dream of sitting out there talking during a soloist, but we would talk during a piano special, and in my mind, there's no difference. And so let your heart be blessed. And young ladies that are learning piano, young men, and I'm just going to say this. I have no problem with a young man learning to play the piano. I never have. I don't have a problem with that at all. Those of you that think that that's unmasculine, you need to get a wake-up call. Honestly, some of the finest church pianists in America are young men. And God gives certain young men that talent, and you ought to develop that talent and not be scared of developing that talent just because, you know, mostly you see ladies playing the piano. You shouldn't be afraid of that. And so, but our offertory, it should be a familiar gospel song or hymn. Because, listen to me, and what Keith did tonight, perfect illustration of it. What song did Keith play tonight? Are You Washed in the Blood? You knew it, didn't you? Were the songs of that, the words of that song going through your mind as he was playing? And see, that's what empowers that. I've been in churches where offertory is played, and it's a song that the majority of the people had no idea what they... I mean, they may have been playing Beethoven for all I know, and it doesn't mean it wasn't beautiful, but if people can't relate the words to what you're playing to a instrumental special, then you need to... So that's why you want to stay with familiar gospel songs and familiar hymns, okay? Let me give you this big plug, okay? Talking about piano playing. There is always a need for young pianists in our churches. Always a need. Constantly a need. I want parents you to encourage, and I want to do that. I want to encourage you young people to invest and take the time to develop that in your life. And we need piano players. Right now, we don't have some things going that we really ought to have going here just because we're kind of in one of those times where we really could use another piano player or two. That's just the honest truth. And so I've never met a young lady that quit piano that when she got in her 30s didn't say these words, you know, I wish I'd have just stuck with the piano. And but I've always, and I've never met someone who stuck with it that wasn't glad they did. And so you say, well, Brother Jerry, it's difficult for me, whatever. I don't have a natural talent for it and all these things. I know God gifts some people differently than others. But piano playing, a lot of it is just character. It's just like anything else. You just got to practice. You just got to put the time in on it. And, of course, Pastor Ross started some things that was very helpful, and we're continuing to do those things and expand on those things in allowing on our Wednesday night service for our young people to develop some of their talents, because it does help them in the seriousness of their preparation. You parents know this, when they are on the list to play in church. We have taken some of our young ladies that are developing, and we let them play in our school chapel. And that has really accelerated a lot of their development. And so it's been a good thing. But young people, listen to me, pray about that. And those of you that are taking lessons, don't get discouraged. You look sometimes at somebody that's very accomplished. Well, I guarantee you, talk to their mother and their dad. And you know what? They plinked and plucked and you know, dad was sitting there going like, and he wants to holler, because I do sometimes, could you stop? But you can't tell him to stop, because it's music. May not sound like music, but it is. It's music that's being developed. Talents are being developed. Let me just say this. I think that our young people ought to, and I'm not a music expert, but I, you know, I'm a preacher, and I'll tell you, I got a perspective on this. I think our young people ought to take lessons from good Christian piano teachers. Now listen to this. Whose goal is to produce a good congregational pianist? And some of our young people have gone to teachers that they know how to do everything except walk up here and sit down and play for a congregation. And you know, you may know all the fancy things in the world, but you know what? That's all showboat stuff, and that's all extra stuff, but you ought to learn the basics. And you know where you're going to be plugged in? You know where you're going to be needed? In a church? Playing for someone that's going to sing. And so if all you know, we don't need Liberace's. We really don't need Liberace's. We just need good congregational pianists. And I've conveyed that to some of the teachers that teach our students. If I see them and I'll talk to them, I'll say, hey, I don't know, I'm not, but you know what I need you to do for our kids? Because to me, that's important. That's important. All right? Let's talk about our church choirs for a while here. Church choirs. We opened the service here with a choir special. Now think about this, choir members, and I'm doing some cheerleading, some pep talk. I hope some encouragement tonight. But we opened the service with a choir special. Watch this. It is the first impression a visitor receives as to what to expect from the rest of the service. I mean, it's important. That opening choir special is important. First impressions are important. And on your opening choir special, there's something about a heartfelt, upbeat opening choir special that sets the tone for the rest of the service. And there are a lot of pretty slow songs, but folks, I don't want to start with a slow song. I want to start with a bang. I don't want to put them to sleep and have Brother Tom have to come up here and wake them back up. I want you to wake them up, Brother Bud. And I know that we only have that opportunity. Sometimes you have a choir that has an opportunity to open, and then they also are used sometimes before the preaching, and that's when things have slowed down, the preparation has slowed down. I understand the psychology of it, but we need to start out with people looking up and going, man, something is going on here. Something's going to happen in this service. Boy, that's good, you see. And so choir members, dedicate yourself to that. Take seriously choir practice. I want you to have fun, and I hear you, and I know you have fun, and have a good time. But boy, never lose sight of the fact that what you're preparing for is very, very important. And it's key to getting the service off on a good foot, you see. Now, I'm not an expert, but I'll tell you Pastor Jerry's two main rules for the choir. Sing out and smile. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Brother Bud's got about 40 other rules for you, but my two are very simple. Really, I want to hear you. Sing. I mean, sing out. And you say, Brother Jerry, I don't have a real strong voice. Sing out to the best capability that you have. And so that's important, you see, and do that. Now, some of you that are extra loud, you're going to have to be careful that you don't overshadow those, and you're going to have to blend. This isn't a solo slash choir. This is a choir. And so you want to blend together, but sing out. Sing out, you see, and smile. I mean, if you look up at y'all sometimes, and most of the time you do a great job, and some of you always, you've learned this, but some of you just don't look very happy up here. I just want to go, psst, psst, think about what you're singing. Because it's happy stuff. You know, and I think sometimes our mind wanders and we're staring off or whatever, and next thing you know, we just got this blank stare, and we're just, don't do that. All right, get ready. I'll tell you something that it blesses my heart. But I many, many times have been in the process of cutting through at the last minute to go get something in the office, and I'll hear the gentleman over here on this side before they come out for the choir special, one of them will say, hey, let's have a prayer real quick. That's huge. That's huge because you know what? No matter how much you practice, there is a spirit anointing that needs to be on a song to make it do what it's supposed to do. And it has nothing to do with talent. It doesn't have anything to do with harmonizing. It has everything to do with Almighty God. So what I like about that is that tells me we haven't got the point where we're depending upon our talent to get us through this morning. We're still dependent upon God to get us through. Well, I just wanted to share that with you because most of you don't have the opportunity to hear that. That blesses my heart. That's a blessing, you see. And smile and sing and pray before you come out. Amen. And let me say this. Brother Tom, I appreciate it. And he does a good job on this. And Brother Bud does a good job on this too. But listen, if the song is the first thing on the agenda, then start the service on time. And I want you to say, I was over there greeting Dad. I hadn't seen him, and I was greeting Dad and talking with him real quick. And 7 o'clock came, and Brother Tom came right up here and lead singing. Don't ever wonder for one second what Brother Jerry thinks about that. You know what I think about that? Thank you. That's exactly what I want you to do. That's what I think about it. Because whether or not I'm in my place or whether or not I'm caught up doing something, there's something about punctuality that we ought to get back and revisit, you know. It's important. And I'll tell you, visitors, especially businessmen, who understand the importance of time, they'll come to a service and they'll watch. I mean, I've been to Baptist churches, and they're good preachers and good guys, and they're good churches, but, man, it don't seem like they have a clue how to read a clock. Have you ever been in a church? I was in a church here a while back where 12 minutes after time, people are still wandering around and talking and chatting, and there's just something inside of me because of him where I'm wanting to stand up and either say, start this thing or let me go home. You know, what are you doing? I could have swore I've got your flyer here. I got your track. It says 7 o'clock. Why aren't we going? And that's a good habit to get into, and you have to watch that. We have to watch it in school. We have to watch it everywhere. It's just easy to always be a few minutes late, and that's a bad, bad habit. Good stuff for us? Not a whole lot of Bible verses, but just practical things that I hope will help us, you know. And like I said, most of these are just attaboys because we're doing a good job, but we want to make sure we maintain it. I think the church choir is great. I think anybody and everybody that possibly can ought to be a part of the church choir. It's also a great training ground from which to produce smaller singing groups because you have the ability to teach your adult choir the different singing parts, and then from those you can put together a lot of times singing groups, and it's just a great training ground from that. Our children's choir, our teen choir, we're going to revisit them. We're going to get those things back and running. I had a couple kids this past week stop me downstairs and say, "Brother Jerry, when are we going to have children's choir again?" I said, "Hang in there, we will." A lot of it, again, folks, depends on our piano players and ability, and not, I'm trying not to stretch some of them too thin, and that's why I need you young ladies. Bless your hearts. I'm going to give you another pep talk. I need you preparing. I need you getting ready to go on this thing of our choirs, you know, and your piano practicing in preparation, because there's always a need for piano players. But our children's choir and our teen choir provides a training ground for our young people and teaches them to sing out for the Lord. I really think that one of the keys of why Blessed Hope traditionally has had such a good congregational singing goes back to the training that's given to them in our children's choirs, our teen choirs, and our Christian school. And one of the things we're stickler about is I cannot stand mumblers during a song service. Our students don't have that option or opportunity, or that's not acceptable. They can't just come in here and mumble through a song. That's part of the things we cover in orientation. It's what Brother Reiser, it's one of those things we've got to stay up on top of. But they ought to enthusiastically, from the heart, with a good, strong, loud voice, be singing. And if you train them up to do that, then it's going to be just the most natural thing in the world. And then one of these days they'll go with you and visit another church, and they'll say, "Turn in your songbook," and your family will sing like you do at Blessed Hope, and all of a sudden everybody's going to look like this, and you're going to want to stop because you think, "What has happened here?" It's a shame the way we sing in our churches. It's a shame to Almighty God. If I was lost and went in and listened to the average congregation sing, I would think, you know what? They're not very convinced about this. They're not very excited about it. It's not very real to them. You know, and so it's our testimony, and that helps us all the way on up to teach them to sing. I want to say this because it's important. It sounds like we're having a special speaker choir members meeting tonight, but, you know, this does save me time, not having to have these extra meetings, amen? But let's remember this, and let's stay firm on this, okay? All choir members and those involved in special music should dress in what I call platform attire. Platform attire. You see, I'm scheduled to be on the platform tonight, so see how I'm dressed? You know, I'm not gonna dress down, especially if, hey, listen, platform attire, there ought to be a higher level if you're gonna be on the platform than if you're not. And it's okay if you dress that way anyway. I'll throw it out here, voice crying in the wilderness, "Hello." But we're too casual. I know I'm going to be this old dying dinosaur one of these days, and everybody's going to cluck their... But we are. You know, if we were going to go see George Bush, if we were going to go see the president, we'd probably dress up a little bit. Although I've seen on TV what some of them don't care. I don't understand the way people dress to come to funerals. I don't understand how they dress to come to weddings. I think it's appalling. I can't understand how people dress to go to Walmart. We are a sloppy society. Excuse me. I mean, my mama growing up, it'd take her 30 minutes to get ready just to go down to the corner store. No, honestly. You know why? Because you were going out. Because you were going in public. Now, they're taking 30 seconds. All right, that's free. I can't control everything, but folks, when you get up here, I'm not for this casual Christianity. I'm not for this kickback Christianity. I'm not going to be preaching in a sports coat, T-shirt, and Bermuda shorts anytime soon, okay? I'm just not. I tried them on the other day. Believe me, you don't want to see it, all right? I'm not going there. Some of you right now are going, delete, 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 delete. I know what everybody else is doing, but I don't know. I just kind of like to stay old-fashioned. You know, shirt and tie is good. You know, sports coat. I dressed kind of casual tonight because I got a sports coat and slacks instead of a suit on. So I guess I did dress down a little bit Wednesday nights, you know, relaxed. So maybe I'm going liberal. I don't know. Ladies, when you come up here to sing, have a Sunday-type dress or skirt or top, something that's sharp, something that's dressy, something that looks like you came to church. Don't flip-flop up here. You know, I don't want to have to go into specifics after this, but you ought to figure some things out. If you have any questions, look at the way my wife dresses, my mother dresses, some of the other ladies in this church dress, and, you know, wear the proper things on the platform that you ought to wear. Amen. You see, gentlemen, if you're going to be up on the platform, suits or slacks and sports coats, a dress shirt and a tie and dress shoes, and you know what? That looks pretty churchy. Looks like that you're preparing to sing a special. Looks like you expected to be on the platform. Amen. So let's just hold the line on that. Amen. This is good stuff. Talk to you about our special music just a minute. And again, boy, I tell you what, aren't we blessed? Aren't we blessed? God has been awfully good to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I want to say this, thank you, because folks, what you see on the platform is not all that's entailed in getting a special together. And folks have worked and prepared and practiced, and they get up and they sing praises to the Lord, and we are a blessed church. Let me give you this. A sincere, heartfelt song sung to the Lord is better than a polished, dead performance sung for the applause of men. Amen. I was in a meeting here a while back, and they had two different youth choirs sing. And I'm just going to tell you, this is my opinion. All right, but this is what I felt, the impression of the Holy Spirit. And I watched it. One of them, they marched up, they had matching outfits. And I'm not against matching outfits. They had matching outfits, but they had a song director, I could tell, that as far as teaching parts and skilled and man. And they hit every note and they were polished. But those kids looked like dead robots. They just sat there and went through this thing. And they get set down. And I don't know how to explain it, folks, but sometimes the power of God is just not there. The anointing's not there. There's no, you know, the Bible doesn't talk so much, say a whole lot about a Christian's beauty or facial, you know, but it talks about countenance. And brother, I know what it is. I don't know if I can define it for you, but I know what it is. Then there was another group that sang the next night. It was a different church group. And I'll be honest with you. I think in some areas, musically and otherwise, they probably just weren't as polished. But buddy, those kids had God all over them. And they sang. And the Spirit of God was there. And so, you know, I'm not saying, if you could take both those and put them together, isn't that wonderful? You know, I think that's great. That's kind of what you're shooting for. But the honest truth is, if it comes down to it, just have the anointing of God on you. Now practice, because greatness is not in the performance, it's in the practice. You see, and that's the honest truth. If you practice and prepare and pray, usually the performance takes care of itself. And I'm not sure I like the word performance, but that takes care of itself, you see. And so make sure that when you sing, that you've had a little bit of time to pray and you've got your heart ready and you've prayed for an anointing. And let me give you this. Number three, don't nightclub the notes. Don't nightclub the notes. Now, I invented that phrase. I hope you're very proud of that. Don't nightclub the notes. And what that means is sliding notes all over the place, trying to make it sound something, a spiritual song that is sung in a breathy, fleshly way brings no glory to Almighty God. It sounds like something that some, you know, singer's trying to sing in a nightclub somewhere. Don't do that to this music. Don't do that to, I don't care how good or how traditional, you can take a Fanny Crosby song and carnalize it. So be careful. You know, just sing it the way it's written. Stay on track. Now, I don't care. There's ways to have variations in the music. I understand this without damaging it and without diminishing its spiritual impact. But this sliding of notes and all of this stuff, folks, that's just... You know where we learned that? We learned that at the honky-tonk. Yeah. We learned that in the nightclub. We didn't learn that from the Lord. And remember that when God gave us that verse, I taught this last week, where it says, singing to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. There's a reason, you know, every word's on purpose. There's a reason God used that verse to emphasize the melody of a song. And that's what ought to be emphasized. That's what ought to come through. And that is what keeps a song pure. Okay, let me say this. I don't think I have really a problem with this, but I want to maybe explain to some of you why we do what we do. Leave when you're up here singing a song, leave the preaching to the preacher. Just leave the preaching to the preacher. Okay? We ask you to come up and provide special music, not commentary or a history or historiology or anything else. Just come up, sing the song, sit down. Some folks can't sing unless they've got to talk to the congregation for 5 minutes. Tell a sad story. Just sing the song and sit down. That'd be a blessing. Amen? All right, number five. You're not on the platform to perform or entertain. You are singing praise to the Lord and helping to prepare the hearts of the congregation for the preaching. And so don't forget that. Don't forget that. Because if you come up with your motive wrong, I promise you, no matter how beautiful a song it is or how well it's performed, it comes out. And don't need attaboys at the end of the day. Don't leave mad if you sang a special on Sunday morning and no one's told you how much they enjoyed it, and you've got to have that. You ought to reevaluate your motive. Okay? Because that's not what it's about. You know, we've gone into churches, I think someone else mentioned this the other day, but we went into a church a couple times where we left after the first or second song in the car. I mean, I got the family and went back to the car and left. Yeah, music's a big deal. That music service telling me real quick whether or not we're in for a blessing, we're in for God. Is God in on this thing or is God out of this thing? And so hopefully the things I've talked to you about tonight will be a blessing to you and maybe a help to you. I feel like we're doing a great job. I feel like there's always room for improvement, evaluation, and let's just ask the Lord to help those of us that are involved in music and the musical aspects of the church. Let's make sure that we are contributing to the success and the blessing of God upon the service and not diminishing from that. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless this time of instruction and, Lord, exhortation. And I thank you again, Lord, for the talent that you've given us here, the abilities that are represented. And I pray, Lord, that you would use, Lord, all that we do here to bring honor and glory to Almighty God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.